This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day.
It is. You know, we got a little cold for a few hours, and then we got a little bit hot for a few hours. We had a little chance of rain for a few hours, and we get a little bit of dry for a few hours. It's a little of this and a little of that.
Sounds like West Texas to me.
Yeah. It's all the seasons all wrapped up in one.
That's right. But we just can't get it right. One day I've got on a coat. The next day I don't have on a coat. And I can't quite figure it out.
Well, you know, I remember about a month or so ago where it was like really, really hot. And people were saying, my goodness, it's way too early in the year to be this hot. And now, this past week when it got really cold, people were saying, my goodness, it's way too late in the year to be this cold.
That's right. And when you have to wear a full coat in the mornings, that's too much. It's been 42, 43, 44,
yeah.
And nobody can believe that.
Well, you
not
give it
the
like,
last of April.
I know, right? It's like, my goodness, we're way past Easter here.
It's usually on Easter Sunday.
Yeah. In 3-4 weeks, we'll be saying, my goodness, it's like 115 at night. So enjoy this.
If it gets 115 at night, I'm leaving town.
I heard that. We'll get on a rocket ship, and we'll just go straight to Mars.
That's right.
Go live on the sun to cool down.
I bet we could make a lot of money.
I bet we could.
Somebody'd be willing to pay us a lot.
Well, we need to start making some money so we can retire.
That's exactly right. But we don't want to retire too early now.
Yeah, no, because then we get bored and we'd start doing ridiculous things like building rocket ships to go to the sun.
They'd call us back to work, is what I'm afraid of. They'd say, oh, no, you need to come back. We'd be I'd be going, no way.
Yeah.
Really. Oh, my gosh.
We are out. We are retired. And that's, you know, there are people, though, that have had to go back to work because they didn't plan for retirement properly. We were just talking about some of these people the other day, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. And it's not funny. It's not nice, you know, to have to go back to work. What do you tell your spouse? Well, honey, I miscalculated. that money you thought I had, I spent it. And then, you know, here comes fight number 54 coming in.
Number 54.
Oh, yeah, it'll be number 54 for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So that's really this is all about. It's about retiring and planning your retirement so that you don't have to go to work because, you know, we say funny things and all that, but it's really not. It's a very serious thing, especially when you're saving and you're trying to grow your money for your entire life and you think you're there and then you get a little taste of retirement and then, man, all that gets wiped out and you've got to go back to work. So we want to avoid that, and there's things that you can do so that that doesn't happen. It really involves smart types of investments.
That's right. And we know whether you've done smart or not when we look at your portfolio. We know what you've been doing. It's hard to hide, you know.
Yeah.
Now, success, that's easy to show also. And, you know, as I talked last week, we had a guy that's finally sold his business, and all this time he's wanted to put money with me, but he was too scared till he retired. And sold his business. Now he's come over, and he had been thinking about it for 4 years. That's a little bit long.
Wow. We talk about procrastination a lot, but 4 years, that's a long time.
We've never even heard of that, have we?
No.
4 years.
So why was he scared? What was his holdup?
You know, I didn't even ask him.
Mm-hmm.
I should have, but I didn't. I just said, you know, I talked to you 4 years ago, and he laughed. He said, yes, my wife and I were here 4 years ago. And I said, and you just sold your business. Yep, we've just sold the business, and we'd like to put it with you. And I go, well, that's wonderful, you know. And no, he'd have been there a lot sooner if he'd been with that bunch at First Baptist Church over there.
Yeah.
Because the First Baptist Church, you know, they meet, they greet, and they eat. Now, that's what we Baptists do.
Yeah.
And they would come to me, then they'd say, now, I'm sending Henry over, or I'm sending Joe over. And they would just come after the first one. And so I asked the fellow, I said, do you go to the First Baptist Church? But I knew he didn't, or he'd already been there, you know. And he laughed, said, no, I think he went to Assembly of God church. So he didn't know any of those other people. Or he'd have been over sooner, because they send people over.
They would have said, hey, we're doing well, we're making money with Faye, go over and talk to her.
That's exactly what they would have said.
And that's how you get a lot of clients. That's a lot of where they come from is from referrals.
Yes, they do. 90% of our customers are all referrals from either their brother or somebody they work with. And a lot of it is, you know, who do you socialize with?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it comes about. They tell their friends when they are socializing with them about how much they've made, you know.
Well, you know, and that says such a big thing, too, because people don't put their own reputation and recommend something that is terrible, because that's a real quick way to lose a good friend or, you know.
That's right. You lose all those good friends if you mess up.
You don't want to do that. So people are only going to recommend things that they actually believe in. And for people to personally vouch for the process and how much money they've made, that is a really big deal.
It is a big deal. And as I said, that's how we get all of our people. And the people that were over 2 weeks ago from Odessa, again, it was a client of ours that they knew real well that recommended us. And that's why they came. That's why they put their money with us. And, you know, we always appreciate it. And, you know, our people can always show them what they made. You know, it's real. It's in writing. And it comes straight from Nevada Trust. And tells them, you know, here's what you made. If it's an IRA, you don't owe any taxes. If it's not, you will owe taxes. That's just the way that works. An IRA, you don't pay until you take it out. If it's ordinary, like a joint account with your wife, then at the end of the year, you have to pay tax on what you made. So that's why it works.
Yeah, and any chance, you know, I mean, you don't want to unnecessarily pay high fees for, you know, taxes or, you know, taking money out when you don't have to. So that's why you do this the smart way. You do a lot of rolling over and just moving things around, and then you don't pay taxes until what, 71?
70 and a half.
70 and a half.
You have to start taking money out and paying the tax on it. And a lot of people don't realize how much it's going to be. It's like 3.86, I believe.
Yeah. So as long as the money is there, you know, it doesn't matter how it gets there. Just roll it over, avoid those taxes. But you can start growing that money right off the bat. You roll some in, you set up some accounts. And I know this is a really super simplified version of this, but basically a lot of people just come in, they roll their 401k over or whatever their money may be. They roll it in, create these accounts, and then they start investing in these life insurance policies. And it's not just a one-time investment. You get in and you get out. This is a process. This is a planned trajectory. It's a strategy that you put in place for people. And everybody's plan is a little bit different depending on how long until they want to retire. Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years or longer? You know, what kind of a situation, you know, they're in? Do they need to be aggressive? Do they need to be in several policies or maybe like two or three or, you know, more than that? And really everything is customized to the actual investor themselves personally.
That's right. And, you know, this week we had two more policies mature. So now we've had a total of 10 for this year.
Wow.
Yes. And my son was in one of these, and him and three other guys. And this policy came due in 5 months.
Really? What was it projected?
I believe, and I'm going to look right here, and I'm going to tell you. Let's see. It was projected...
Because if it's like one of these other ones that
24.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
24 months, yeah.
Because you've had so many policies that have come in so early, and this really is a trend that started last year, and it's continuing strong into 2018. Is policies coming in early?
And we've had two go over. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, the Stump policy went over 2 months, and the Evans policy went over 10 months. And now that's 2 out of 10.
Have they matured, or are they still?
Oh yeah, they just matured. That's what I'm telling you. They just matured. One of them was 2 months over. One was 10.
Okay.
And but what the amazing thing is, as I said, Alma Road. It was 24 months. It paid out, as I said, and that one paid out in 6 months.
Wow.
And the guy was 57, and he had renal failure in his lungs. And he declined chemo.
Really?
And he died in 6 months rather than 24.
Wow.
And the other one that just came due, let's see, Palin was 18 months, and it just came due in 8 months.
Wow.
And Henderson was a 36-month that we did in 16, and it came due in 25 months.
Hmm.
And he had kidney cancer, and it went through his ribs and sternum. So you just can't make it that way. Now, this is the one that went over Evans. It's supposed to be 22 months. It went 31 months, which is 10 months over. And it was a lady, and she had endometrial cancer. And it was in the pelvic wall and the colon, and it was in her lymph nodes, and she went 10 months over.
Wow.
The next one. Hinneman was 27 months, came due in 11.
So it really didn't go over by just a month.
No, it didn't. That didn't go over. It was 27 months, it came due in 11.
Oh, 27, it came in. I thought you said it was 10
in 11. No, it was 27, it came in 11 months. That's 15 months early.
Now, these are significant policies that came in significantly early. We're not talking about just a few weeks here. We're talking about these policies that, you know, say on like a 27 month let's do some simple math. A 24 month policy, it's expected to mature in 2 years. When it comes in early, and again for simple math purposes, say it comes in 12 months. Basically, what this means is you still make your full 24%. You just do it in 1 year as opposed to two, which means you can turn around, reinvest that, and get your profits growing on another policy.
Yes, and the other one that went over by 2 months was Mr. Stump. It was a 10-month policy, matured in 12 months. And he had prostate cancer. It was in the lymph nodes. It was also in his bones.
Uh-oh.
And then the other one was Coke, and it was a 12-month policy. It came in 4 months. And that lady had ovarian cancer. It was in her fallopian tubes, her lymph nodes, and it was a recurring cancer. She was 52 years old.
Oh, my gosh. That's so young.
Now then, Mr. Moore, 15-month policy, came in 2.5 months.
Two and a half?
It had skin cancer from his foot to his thigh, lymph nodes, and his pelvic bones.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over. And then the last one was Mr. Twilley. It was a 13-month. It came in 9.5 months. And he had lung cancer. It was in the liver, the spleen, and the brain. He wasn't but 50 years old.
Oh, my gosh, that's so young.
Yeah, and as I said, we only had one a little bit older. He was 74, and that was the one that went over, Evans. That was supposed to have been 22 months, and it came in 31, so it was 11 months over.
Yeah.
But all those others were early. I mean, by long shot, when I read them, you can see how much early they were.
So when we talk about like this one policy that went over by 11 months, when you have a policy that does that, translate that into how it affects the individual.
Well, it really didn't affect anybody hardly at all. Because 11 months, I don't think there was even a premium due during that time.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to look it up. to be sure. I don't want a story on it, but I don't think there was one.
So if it does go over, all this really means, and I know this is one of the risks with this type of an investment, is that the policy might go over. And when that happens, it means that for the most part, in most situations, not all, but most situations, the investor will have to pay the premiums.
Yes. Now, sometimes we will have premium set aside for maybe 4 extra months or 5 extra months, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They would have to pay premiums. And I don't remember on that particular one. But sometimes, the premiums, I know we sent out premium notices last quarter, and some of them were $49 a piece.
Oh, wow.
Now, some of them were a lot more than that, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I did see some that were small.
So when we're talking about these policies that because we talk about three risks, and this is the part that is so fascinating to me, is that one of the risks is that it does go over and you may have to pay premiums, although there are situations where it goes over and the investor won't have to pay premiums, which means basically that out of the two, in this type of situation, out of the three risks, there's really only two, because there's a number of situations that could arise, like in this case, premiums could be paid ahead of time, and so they may not have to pay anything. But then there's also a situation where if somebody does come down with certain types of situations, and again, I guess each one is different, those premiums basically get wiped out. And I know I'm not saying this the right way, but that's basically the concept, right?
Well, that's the concept. And sometimes they have a rider on their policies that says if you get sick, the rider will kick in, pay the premiums, and you won't pay anything for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Most of those, if you have that rider, it'll kick in and it'll pay your premiums. So therefore, when you sell your policies, like to us, then my people won't have to pay any premium either, because it's paid up.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that now.
Right.
Not everybody has that on theirs. But the ones that do, it's really nice. And we've had several of them that we found out, did have that.
So is it possible someplace along the way, and I know the range is so wide, and I know this is almost a ridiculous question, but for those who have never done this before and are worried about premiums going over, and they're worried, my goodness, if a premium goes over and I have to pay the premium, on this policy, then I'm not going to make any money and my profit is wiped out. That's not the case at all. So is there a way at all to kind of maybe mention some kind of an average amount that premiums might go over? And I know it varies, but...
Well, if they're going to go over like these, one went over 2 months, one went over 10 months.
Hmm.
And 10 months is probably the average.
Okay.
They can go over, 3 or 4 years. Or... I've had several that was just a month or 2 months that it went over. And that's close. When the doctors call it that close, that's really close.
Yeah, yeah. So basically...
And, as you know, most of ours come in early. We had 8 out of 10 come in early. Had 2 come in late.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to anticipate that. We tell them up front, anticipate some will go long, some will go early, and some will be on time.
Really, it all averages out in the end, because most investors will have some policies that do go over. A lot of them will come in early. And so it really all kind of balances out. But say, and let's just run some simple numbers here, because I know people get nervous about policies going over. And I've talked to a couple of people this past week that's really their main concern, is that the policy is going to go over and they're not going to, it's going to wipe out their profit. So say a $100,000 investment, say it's a 24-month policy. Say it goes 30 months, so it goes 6 months over. The premium on that might be, say, let's just shoot high.
Let's say it was $3,000.
Okay. So $3,000 out of a $24,000 profit, you're still coming in with $21,000 profit on this deal.
That's right. So, it's decreased your profit a little bit, but not very much.
Right. So people don't have to worry about losing their entire profit. It's a very small percentage, and it's still, the numbers still make all the sense in the world that this is a sound investment.
I think so. And as I said, as long as you don't have those old policies, you're in good shape.
Yeah. And there's a difference.
Yeah, those just don't count on any profit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You're still wrestling with, what, two or three of those?
We've still got three of those old policies that brokers sold us. And by the way, we do not ever do business with a broker. We will not let a broker sell us anything because we know what happens. And they'll sell you a pig in a poke and say, this thing is coming due, you know, in 12 months, and they're lying.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do old people. We love old people.
Mm-hmm.
But no, 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 we're not doing an old person's policy.
Because
I always say, they're going to outlive me and probably you.
Exactly. I have seen...
And, we can't take that risk.
I've seen a lot of commercials lately about people trying to, if you want to sell your policy, call us. And it's these elderly people, and they're out, quote, living the good life and traveling. Those are not the types of policies that you're investing in at all.
No. If you're out traveling, don't call me.
Yeah.
Because what we want is the people that have got a huge cancer bill that are trying to get out from under it, and they're coming to us to sell their policy where they can get treatment. There's a new cancer treatment out right now. It's $1 million.
Really?
I just read that this week. $1 million. So, you know, how many people can afford that?
Not many.
Not very many.
And that's really the difference. That's what makes this type of a life settlement investment so much different than other investment opportunities, because you're looking for very specific types of policies and policy holders that need to sell them because they've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So you know that these policies are, we all know the survival rate of stage 4 cancer. Now, sometimes people can, you know, do some treatments and they may extend their life a little bit. And that's great. We hope they do. We pray, you know, for everybody's health. But reality is, statistically, people do not survive stage 4 cancer very often. And so that's why you look for these types of policies to bid on and purchase and make available for investments. So what exactly are you looking at, like when you see these reports come in, when you're looking at policies and saying, okay, should I bid on this? Should I not? Exactly what types of situations are you looking for the most?
Okay, well, let's look at the ones that we've just gotten. This 50-year-old male that came in early, let's look at his policy. He had lung cancer, he went to his liver, his spleen, his brain. Now, you know that guy's not going to survive. The other guy was 62, and he had cancer from the foot to the thigh, the lymph nodes, and his pelvic bones. Again. And then this male, 74. Now, he had prostate cancer. It was in the lymph nodes. It already went to his bones. Now, that's the one that went over. But it didn't go over but 2 months. And then we had the one, 58 years old. He had kidney cancer, renal cell failure, and it was also in the lungs. And it was supposed to have been 34 months. Instead, it was 13. So these are good policies. And this esophageal cancer, it was 27 months. It came in 11. That's 15 months early. And the man with esophageal cancer was 68. It was in his lymph nodes, his thyroid, and his pancreas.
Wow.
And nobody survives pancreatic cancer.
No, isn't that one of the most deadliest forms?
It is. And then the other one down here, it was 36-month policy, came in, and 25 months. Came in 10 months early. And the guy had kidney cancer again. And it was in ribs and sternum. So, and then the one, Palin policy, was 18 months. It was actually an 8.7 months. And it was a lady, she had breast cancer. It was in the lymph nodes, the lungs, the chest walls, the ribs, and the cervix.
Wow.
And when you read all this, I mean, if it said one place, I'd tell you it might not be worth buying. But these people have advanced cancer. It is metastasized to 5 or 6 places.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a chance. And then we have the guy that said he wasn't going to do chemo. And he came in 6 months.
And you know, there are red flags such as that that you look for also. So it's not just the type of cancer, where the cancer is located. It's also what types of treatment the policyholder has tried, or more importantly, has not tried, because you look for those as well.
It is not tried. I mean, you've heard of the road less traveled?
Yeah.
That's these people. Lots of times they're going to outsmart our cancer specialists in the United States, and they go to Mexico or South America. And then they come back and they say, you know, I'm awfully sick. And they say, okay, come in, let's see what we can do. And then they say, we still don't want to go under the knife. Mm-hmm. So that's a dead signal right there, you know? And so they say, well, let us give you radiation or all the different kinds of chemo and try to save you. And but then usually it's just too late.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Yeah, and so those are the policies that are really red hot, that you really go after hot and heavy. So you're bidding on these policies that, you know, say policy holder Joe wants to sell his policy. He's got stage 4 cancer. He needs that money so that he can go ahead and get treatment, because it is so expensive, like you were saying. This one new treatment is $1 million. They're not all that much, but cancer treatments per month.
No, but that new one is because it's brand new.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at, you could be up to $10,000 a month for cancer treatments, and I'm sure even
that's
more
exactly
in some
right.
cases. So it's very expensive. So many people who are diagnosed with cancer, they need money to go ahead and seek these treatments. And so for this to work, they need to sell their policy. And so you bid on it against other companies. When you're awarded with it, now that becomes an investment opportunity. The policyholder gets their money and they go get their treatments. And we wish them well and hope that it works. Well, now you've got this policy that is just sitting here, and this is what people invest in. And so there's a certain percentage, and again, you could probably speak better to this than I can, but, you know, say you've got a policy and you break it up into, say, 10 equal parts, and then people invest in it, and then when the policy matures, they get their money. That's a really simple version, and it may not be completely accurate. You could probably fill in the details here a little bit better than I could, but that's basically how it works, right?
That's basically what's going to happen. Is they own the policy, the bank will send for the certified death certificate, the bank gets the check, and they put it in your account. I mean, the bank is in charge, and they take care of it. They've been doing it for years and years, and so they know how to do it. And you don't want anybody else but a bank handling your money.
No, you don't.
Now, the checks are never made to us. The checks go direct to the bank. You know, we dealt with brokers that had the money in their accounts, and it was a risk, and it did not pan out. So we are not ever going to do business that way. We do direct with the bank and direct with the customer. And the bank acts as our trustee.
So
you've got to have a trustee to handle the money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there are a number of safety measures in place to safeguard the money.
We've done every one we can think of, I'll tell you.
And then on top of that, it's such a sound investment, because I can't think of any other type of investment, especially on Wall Street, where people know what they're going to make ahead of time.
Well, you're exactly right, because they're hoping. And just like today, they said, you know, all these people are shaky on Wall Street.
Yeah.
That's what it said yesterday, how shaky these people are toward Wall Street right now.
Well, we've seen
they're taking their money out again.
People are scared of a volatile market, and you know, when we see it go up and then we see it go down, we're seeing significant gains. We're also seeing significant losses, and when things are that unstable, you never know what's going to happen. I think people are having some flashbacks to 2008 and 2009, and people lost everything. There are people who are just now recovering. It's taken almost 10 years. I know some people personally who it's taken 10 years to get back to where they were. What that means is that's 10 years that they weren't growing any money. They were getting back to just
they didn't have any money to grow.
Exactly. It's like
they had to wait till they got to make a little bit, then a little bit more. And, you know, I know people it took 7 years.
Yeah.
And like I met a guy from Odessa recently. He said he has friends that have went back to work. They just couldn't ever regain all their money.
Yeah. And so people are looking for a safer type of investment. And really, the basics of a life settlement is you invest, and all you have to do is you set it and forget it. You wait for the policy to mature. You don't need to get up at midnight and check to see, my gosh, has my money gone down? Have I lost everything? Am I, you know, gaining anything? Because that's not even a factor at all. In fact, a life settlement does not have, it's not affected by any external factors. Whatever happens in the world does not affect this. What happens on stock market does not affect this. This is not affected by anything. It is its own entity.
That's it. And so China, Russia, Iran, North Korea will not affect this. It will affect the stock market every day of our life.
Yes.
And, oil goes down over a whim. You wouldn't even think oil would be that jittery, but it is, because they don't know what Saudi Arabia is going to do. You know, they don't know how much they're going to drill, how much they're going to sell. And this affects all the stock market every day. And did you know we need to give out the phone number?
We should.
I think so. The phone number is 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now that's the
and
number.
I apologize for not giving out the phone number earlier.
Oh, that's quite all right. That's the number for your office. Now, this being Saturday, there's nobody there, so you know you won't get very far. But if you call that number next week, first thing Monday morning, even call, set up an appointment, go in and have some conversation, see what this is about, and this may be a wonderful fit for anybody who wants to really look for a safer type of investment. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always bring all kinds of fun things to do. If it's a festival going on, or a place to visit, or something we need to experience. So what are we talking about today?
This is something for you to experience if you haven't already done it. Have you ever done zip lining?
Oh, no, but I've seen it. Oh, I've seen it on TV. I want to do it so bad.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a story about a couple that lived in Austin, had a big, fine home, had four children. And in 1998, they went out to the country west of Austin, and they bought this land. It had a beautiful creek on it. So they started farming and ranching, and they said, we need more income here. We're a little short. And the husband went to Costa Rica, and he learned to zip line. Now, Costa Rica is where zip lining started. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, I didn't know that.
It started in the rainforest.
Wow.
And these naturalists would go down there, and they made them up a rope system where they could study the rainforest without damaging any of the ground branches and trees. So this guy visited it, and he said, I think that's a great way of exploring forest. So he came back, and in 2004, they said, we just got to do something. So they decided to start a zip line business, and it was Cypress Valley out at Spicewood. And they have a zip line deal that is absolutely wonderful. And these people went down there and said they took the two-year-old, all the children, and the grandmother, who's 89. There's not anybody that didn't do it. Now, can you imagine an 89 lady getting on a zip line?
I can't imagine. I'm about half that, and I can't imagine that.
There you go. Well, they loved it. They fell in love with it. And people have been doing it ever since. And the nice thing about this, it's just, doesn't matter what age is, it will work. And these people have got one set up, and you can fly over everything, all levels, doesn't make any difference. It will work. And then, if you want to spend the night, they have, in their trees, they have built little lodges in the trees.
Ooh, that's cool.
It is the coolest thing you ever heard of. But there's steep canyons, everything in the world to fly over. It's just wonderful. And then over in Bastrop, this has got suspension bridges, platforms, and you can look at the pines. And it's a you can do it side by side, flying over nature.
Cool.
Now, I think the one that's got the little rooms and lodging in the trees would be a fun deal.
Yeah. I think that would be such a unique experience.
It would. Now, another thing I haven't told you about, you can do this at night.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. They recommend this. You can take a night tour, you and your family, and they'll give you glow sticks and headlamps. And you take to the sky for a three-hour trip of ziplining.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I think it would just, you know, be heavenly.
How cool would that be?
It would be so cool. Now then, the biggest one, I haven't told you about the biggest one. The biggest one is over, like, Austin, and it's the best one. It's very high, you know. They've got 360-degree angles for you to fly over. It's just amazing that you can do this. And Lake Travis has got one of the prettiest views. You've got a 360-degree view if you do Lake Travis.
Really?
Uh-huh. So I think it's just, you know, a fantastic family deal. Everybody should do it. Nobody should stay home this summer. Go zip line with the whole family. Now, some of them have a deal where that you can do it side by side, okay? Mm-hmm. But the one in Austin is the longest and the fastest zip lines in Texas.
Wow. How fast do they go?
I don't know the speed, but it's the fastest. It's got that 360-degree panoramic view. And then you arrive at a peaceful lakeside beach, and you can enjoy the sunshine. And if you're not afraid of the dark, they are the one that has the best night flight.
See, now, I have this thing about heights, and so I'm wondering if maybe the night would be the better place to start, because you can't actually tell how far you are off the ground.
Okay, some of them are 50 foot off.
Oh, okay, well, that's not bad.
No, I don't think it's bad at all. And, you know, for when little children do it, I mean, we ought to be able to do anything a child can do, right?
In theory, yeah.
yeah, just in theory. I'm not saying we can do it. I'm saying we ought to be able to do it. Oh, my gosh. Children are fearless. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
And now they also have one down at South Padre Island. And they also had been to the Caribbean. And they said, well, those in the Caribbean are not fast enough. They spend too much time hiking. So they said, you know, let's build us one. So they built four parallel lines between two platforms, different levels for landing. And you can reserve it for 30 minutes or hours. And once they strap you in, they teach you how to do it. Just like you're a little kid.
Yeah.
Now then, the families can do this to that. You can race each other. You can zip line together. It's like a go-kart in the sky.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah. And there they offer a bucket list of things you can do. Not anything you can't do.
That would be just so thrilling. I guess probably in the daytime where you can, you know, look out for so many miles. And I don't know if you, because I've never been ziplining before, but I don't know if you're more concerned about, you know, beating the other person in a race or if you kind of take in the scenery and look around and kind of casually enjoy it or not. I don't know which way you'd go, but it seems like it would be absolutely beautiful from being that far up in the air with just you and a lot. It's almost like flying, I would imagine.
It is flying. You don't know it. It is flying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're flying along. You can see the beaches. You can see the lakes. The other places, you can see the creeks, the trees. And what I love in the hill country, you can see all the wild animals down below. Yeah?
Yeah.
Through the trees. You can see all these animals scuttering around, doing whatever they're doing. And you're up above them and getting a heck of a view.
And they're just doing their natural thing, like eating or whatever they do.
Yeah, they're just going on about their business.
Wow.
And they're not worried about you bothering them or anything.
Yeah. That's got to be beautiful.
I think it is. And I think Lake Travis would be probably my favorite because the view is panoramic up there, 360 degrees. You can see all around.
Mm.
And then I would go to Spicewood because of the it's going to be so peaceful above the creeks.
Yeah.
And above all those trees out there.
Yeah, the creeks and the water is
Oh, yeah, and it's just peaceful. And then I would spend the night in a treehouse.
That would be so cool. I mean,
I think it's the coolest thing in the world.
We had treehouses when we were kids, but I'm sure this is something completely different.
This is going to be a lot bigger.
Yeah. A lot bigger. And probably a lot more comfortable, too.
Yeah, it's going to have lights in it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you won't be in the dark out there. You won't be afraid. And it's just nature at its best.
Golly, could you imagine how quiet it would be?
Oh, my gosh, it'd be fabulous.
Ah, so quiet and peaceful. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and then you're going to watch the sun come up, you know. You're above the tree there. You can see the sun coming up. It's all natural. It's nature at its best.
Wow.
And this is what I want you to do this summer, and tell us your experience.
Well, and I'm putting on that on my list now because I'm just getting to the spot where, you know, summer vacation is coming up, and so now we're starting to plan, okay, well, where do we want to go? And so I'm going to put this on my list.
You want to be right here in Texas to all the things I'm telling you about for the summer. You know, the barbecue place, you got to go there and eat.
Yeah.
You need to go see the San Jacinto Monument.
Yep.
You do that in the fall. But all these other things are summer for you.
Yes.
And there's two big music festivals that next week I'm going to tell you about. One is the biggest in Texas, and you need to go to it, and it's coming up in May.
Really?
And there's, oh, my gosh, it's going to be fabulous.
Can you give me a hint?
And it's in Kerrville.
All right.
There will be, like, 90 bands.
Ooh, really?
It runs. This one I'm going to tell you about is going to run for 18 days.
Oh.
It's going to be fabulous.
Oh, wow.
And Bastrop is fixing to have the first one they've ever had. They will have 30 bands.
Really? And this will be their inaugural year?
Yes. Bastrop has never done it. So they've invited 30 big bands for theirs. And I believe theirs is May 17th through the 20th.
Ooh.
But there's going to be so many things for you to see. Texas is just, you know, it's a wonderful place.
And most of these things, we're only talking about a few hours away. So it's
oh, like, yeah, I mean, it's fast.
Yeah.
You can go to it for a weekend, leave on a Friday afternoon, be there for Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Saturday morning.
It'd be one thing if you had to fly, you know, to some other place that's far away, but man, these things are literally just down the street.
They're down the street, down the road, and my gosh, they're fun things to do. I just haven't told you, but a small portion of everything's going on. But I wanted you to know about the zip lining, where it came from, and how available it is to you. Well, and you can go online and get tickets.
That is definitely on my list. I'm writing it down right now.
Okay. You need tickets to get in. You can't just saunter down there.
Don't just mosey on in.
I mean, you've got to have a ticket to get in. Oh, we.
I don't saunter very often.
I'm not the only one that knows about it.
Are you going to go ziplining?
Well, I think I should. I think I should take the grandchildren and do it.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
I think it would, too. It'd be something extraordinary they would talk about for a long, long time.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it would. It'd be a magical, magical memory. This is your money
It'll
with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So we talked about one of the risks, and that's with the policies that may go over and you may have to pay the premiums. And we also talked about how, for the most part, they're relatively small, a very small percentage of your profit. So that's not even a worry. It's a risk, but you need to know about it. What are the other two risks?
The other risk, if you were not an accredited investor, which most of mine are, and you put money in, and 6 months you need it back. Well, you can't do that because the money is in the policy we bought. So that is a risk to anybody that's not accredited.
Okay.
So that's why they need to be accredited to do this program. You can do something else with us if you're not accredited, but to be accredited, you need either be worth $1 million without your house, or you need to make $200,000 a year. And all of our people, I imagine, are many times qualified.
So this
I'm going to make them feel good by saying that.
It's not a paycheck. This is not the type of... And just because somebody doesn't qualify for this program doesn't mean that there are not other options. But for this particular program, this is not a quote-unquote paycheck type of investment. This is for the investor who has plenty of money to live on. They have plenty of savings. They have plenty of assets. This is something that is almost going on the side while they live their life. And they're not even probably going to touch this or think about it or anything until the policy matures.
That's exactly right. And then if it's an IRA, which 90% are, they're going to roll this over and keep rolling it over for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them are not going to be 71 and a half right away. Now, we do have some that are, and they're taking their RMDs, that's their minimum distribution, but a lot of them are not. A lot of them are 60, 65, so they're not going to take all that money out for a long time. And then they're going to take it out proportionately, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's the way people do it.
So
our people, pardon me, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, when they come to us, you know, they need a plan of attack. They've got to figure out, you know, how many years it is to retirement. Can I retire early, or do I have to go the distance? So we talk about all. We talk about how much they're going to put with us. We talk about how much the interest income is going to be. Then I ask them the crucial question. How much are you going to need per year? You know.
And how many people say, I don't know?
Well, a lot of people do, and then I explain to them. Do not try to go with less than you're making now, because you'll run short. Mm-hmm. We don't want anybody to run short. But I don't want to spend it all in 2 years either.
Yeah.
If they do, they're in deep trouble, you know.
So it's really a matter of planning before retirement as well as after retirement, because once you get to that I think a lot of people, they stop planning when they get to retirement date. And then after that, they haven't really thought about it quite as much. They just want to get to retirement. But really, it's almost like the post-retirement is more critical than the pre-retirement planning, because once you retire, your regular paycheck is done. And so you've got to keep growing your money. You've got to make sure that without that safety net of a regular paycheck, you still have enough to live on, and you don't want to start cutting back and you know, oh, we can live on noodles every day and we can cut back this. That's not
retirement. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think any women are going to go for that.
No. That's
I mean, they might put their husband on a water and bread diet, too, but, you know. I don't think the women are going to go for that. So they better plan this right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a time, if you're 50 years old and older, you need to be planning now. You need to take some money out of the stock market, get it to safety, and do something with it. Grow it and get ready for retirement. Don't just procrastinate. A lot of people procrastinate all the time, you know? They talk, but they don't get anything done.
So I know that you've got, you know, several longtime investors who have been doing this for many years with you, and so they just kind of roll with the flow, and then they invest in the next policy, and they're going about their life. But for some who haven't come to talk to you yet, and they're worried that, oh my goodness, you know, I'm not going to have enough to get to retirement, and then after I don't know what I'm going to need after retirement, it's not as scary as it looks, because a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I'm staring down Mount Everest of all this financial planning. I need all this money. But really, you just take it in baby steps. Is it fair to say that for the first time investor in this type of investment, that they come to talk to you, they think maybe they know what they need, but once they start breaking it down and you go into little baby steps, okay, here's what we need to get to retirement, and then, you know, this is about how much you have in your budget that you're using, you know, on a yearly basis now, so we need to make sure we've got this after retirement. When you start breaking it down, do people find it a little bit easier and a little less daunting?
Well, I would think so, because then they can see, you know, and we're talking about, are you, do you need 50,000, 60, or 100,000 or more per year? Okay, how do we get to that point? Well, we have to have interest. So then we show them what their interest should be. You know, it won't be exact, but it gives them an idea of what we can accomplish over the next 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And people,
it's not going to be short, and it's not going to make them rich overnight.
And that's another, that's a good point, because I think a lot of people are, you know, looking for the quote unquote lottery winning strategy for retirement. I'll just invest, you know, play the lottery and, you know, I'll be fine. But it doesn't work that way. It takes planning, and it takes, you know, being smart with your money. And it's one thing to plan in something that may get wiped out literally overnight, like the stock market, and then you lose everything, and your plan is pretty much shot at that point if we have another 2008. Or you can plan a little bit safer, especially as people get closer to retirement. I think they tend to get a little bit more conservative. It's like, gosh, you know, as we get closer, you know, I don't want anything to happen to my money. I want to make sure that everything is there. Whereas 20 years away from retirement, it's like, if something happens, I got time to recover. But as you get closer, you want to make sure that you're pulling back and you're doing the safest type of investment possible. And this is really the route to take.
Well, what I always think about, what if you get sick between now and retirement date?
Ooh.
What if you can no longer work? You better have this worked out, how it's going to work. I know someone very well that is in their 50s. They were out chopping a tree down, and they had a heart attack.
Mm.
Well, after the first heart attack, they had a second one. Then they had to have open heart surgery. Well, who is going to hire you after you've had two heart attacks and open heart surgery? You tell me.
Yeah, that's a risk at that point.
It's a big risk. So you need your house in order at all times. Anybody over 50 should always have everything worked out, where you know how you're going to retire, how your money's going to be done. If something does happen to you, do you have it in a safe enough place that it will grow? Now, a lot of people don't realize this. If you retire or leave a 401 in there, in your company account, they're not going to do anything with it. You're not calling the shots. You don't even work for them anymore.
Yeah.
And we found several people had 401ks. They've been sitting there for 10 years. It wasn't growing, just sitting there.
Just sitting there doing
whatever
nothing.
They did with it, yeah. 10 years ago, it was still the same.
Well,
you have to think about, what if something happened? Do you have your money set in place?
Would it be, and we haven't really spent a lot of time talking about this very often, but would it be fair to say that, you know, say you've got a husband and a wife, if the husband comes in, the wife comes in, they get this plan started, they make their first investment, maybe even their second investment, see how it goes, how it works. And then at that point, if something happens to, say, the husband, the wife can easily step in. There's not really a whole lot to physically do because you're just waiting for it to mature. But at that point, though, the wife could really take over, and really you don't miss a beat. You're still growing. You're still rolling your profits into future investments, and you're still going along the same path. Nothing really has to change. Is that accurate?
Yes. Now, and lots of times we've had people, but the wife has come to me, my husband's been disabled, what do we do? And we just say, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and making you money, putting it in your account for you to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've done. And then we've had people that the husband passed away, young. And so then we took that money and invested it for the wife.
So really, it's about overall financial planning. It can go much deeper than just retirement and post-retirement. It's, you know, what if something happens? It's the what-if planning as well.
That's right. You have to be ready for all that. You've got to have a good will. You've got to have power of attorney for each other if something happened to one of you. Let's say you were sick to the point where you couldn't talk. You couldn't tell anybody what your wishes are. You've got a power of attorney, it can be handled.
Mm-hmm.
So you need all these other things to go with this planning.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't really think all the way through. It's just not because they you know, don't know anything about it, but it's just not something that really is top of mind for most people. They may think, okay, I've got a will, and so, you know, everything's fine. But you still need to be able to grow your money, even if something happens. And so you can help
out
with that.
You need a contingency plan.
Yeah, a contingency plan.
Yeah, if something happens to me.
Yeah. So you can help with all that as well. And then really it's just a matter of set it and forget it with these types of things. Hey, this policy matured. Money's going in your account. You want to roll it into this other policy? Yes, sure. And the process keeps going. It's a very simple process. The hardest part, I believe, is just getting started.
Well, and, you know, this week, you know, when those other two policies came in, I had some people that were in both policies.
Ooh.
You know? So that was a very nice thing for them.
Yeah. That's a big profit in a real big hurry at the same time.
It was, because one we thought was pretty good, but then I checked and some of those people were in that second policy.
Wow.
So that was pretty neat.
So
you can have two policies in 1 month. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's very good. So what about the person who is not accredited for a life settlement type of investment? What types of options do they have?
That person's going to have to go into annuities. Annuities are safe. They've been around over 100 years. They will make you money. You can't outlive an annuity. It's a good thing for certain people, like people that, let's say a widow woman, and I don't think the other's suitable for her. An annuity would probably be suitable. Or a retired couple who know nothing, don't understand high finance. Annuity is what they need. They don't have to ever look up. They've got the annuity. It'll pay them once a year, a lump sum, or monthly. And they don't have to look at anything. They don't have to worry about it. And a shyster can't come by and steal their money.
And that's important, too, because there are so many scammers out there that you have to be careful of those things.
You really do. I was just reading about one in New York City. These people built this little electrical device. They were selling it for $14,000 to $15,000. It was going to cure cancer. It was going to cure heart trouble, blood pressure, all this. And the Postal Service finally got on board. Postal inspectors took them 2 or 3 years, and they'd taken in $13 million in the meantime.
Whoa!
And all these people with cancer suffered and suffered, and it did not get any better. They just went ahead to, you know, and went away.
They just flat out got
scammed. And these people just did it. They didn't care.
Wow.
Did not care.
All right, so there are a number of different options for anybody that wants to invest, which should be everybody, because everybody needs to grow their money, and we know
that's
why.
Right. There's not anybody that doesn't need to grow their money. If there is, I don't know who it is.
I don't know either. Even you know, the richest people on earth still grow their money. So the point is that you've got to get started, and there's a number of options for anybody. We've been speaking in generalities, but really there's something for everybody. So, and everybody's case is different. Everybody's situation is different. You know, what do you want to do when you retire? When do you want to retire? How many years until you retire? If you're not accredited for the life settlement program, there's annuities. But the point is to come in and get started. So just real quick before we go, the people that procrastinated for 4 years and sold their business and came in and talked to you this past week, it was the first time they came and saw you before, but this is really when they got started is this past week. What types of things did they say? What was their oh wow moment? Like, oh my goodness, we should have done this earlier. What types of reactions did they have?
See, they remembered everything I said. And they listen to me every week. That's the strange thing. They've been listening to me on the radio for a long time. Mm-hmm. But they just, you know, I guess because they weren't retired and he was busy, wasn't thinking about his future. Now he is concerned. He wants to be sure he's got investments that will keep paying.
And so
it's, that's really important.
Even though he's at that place and at that stage in life, it's not too late to get started, right?
Never.
Okay. So one last time, Faye, I know it's Saturday and nobody's at the office today, but write this number down and call next week and you have availability for appointments next week, right?
That's right. I want to be really busy this week. So we'll just have everybody come in and we'll talk to them, okay?
Perfect. And one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.